Look at your neighbor, just say five offices. Five offices, that's what we're going to be talking about over the next 4 weeks. So don't get confused by it. We're doing a four-week series called Five Offices, and we'll start that today, and we'll go four Sundays, and on that last Sunday, we'll cover two of them in 1 week. I want you to understand something today. Christ understands the concept of both descending and ascending. Who's ever felt like they descended a little bit? I was on the job with a certain deal and I descended a little bit. Who's ever been in a certain financial bracket and presto change-o, you descended a little bit. Who's ever been on the ascent in your financial bracket? Who's ever been on the ascent at your job? You moved to a new title, a new financial place, a new place in your family. So if there's one person that understands ascending and descending, it would have been and is Jesus Christ. He's always understood this. Now, realize Jesus has always been, and the church shouted, amen. Jesus wasn't created in John 10:10 when the word became flesh. Jesus arrived on earth in the flesh in John 10:10. So Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, he changes not. Why? Because he's God. So we understand that today in the lens that I'll be teaching through. Last week, we did a message called 40 Days After. And in that message, I'm going to read a verse in just a minute. It will explain better this message because it will show the ascent and descent of Jesus. Now, you'll remember that Christ came out of the grave. And when he came out of the grave, he was still on the planet for 40 days. And you'll remember if you were here last week or if you studied the Word of God, he makes these appearances. And these appearances become infallible truths. He didn't just resurrect, escape the tomb, go to heaven, and no one saw it. It was important that people did see that. So we understand that from the resurrection to the ascension, there were 40 days where Jesus went visual with his audience. He appeared to people. So over the next 4 weeks, as we jump into this series, Five Offices, we are going to look at the book of Ephesians, and we are going to look at chapter 4 and some surrounding verses, possibly some surrounding chapters, but we're really going to missile lock right there on Ephesians 4, and we're going to talk about some things. Now, when I say office, some of you might think of some TV series, some show you watched, The Office. Did that come to mind for anyone in here? But some of you, I think this was a great way of modeling it. Some of you might just, it comes to your mind, just an office. Maybe you have a home office. Maybe you have an office at work. Maybe in the garage you have a little makeshift office set up. And I want to give some backdrop to that. In the natural, an office is simply this. An office is a room or a set of rooms or a building used as a place for commercial, professional, or bureaucratic work. Now, I'll read that again. An office. It's a room or set of rooms or building used as a place for commercial, professional, or bureaucratic work. Who's doing some bureaucratic work every once in a while? Okay, so that's why you have an office. But I want us to look at another perspective on office and understand this today. This is a kind of a natural definition, but it will go spiritual on us today. An office is a position of authority. It's a position of authority where there is trust or a service rendered. And typically, this is one of a public nature, so that when you have an office, you might be recognized in public. Now, all of us have seen this. We're seeing this right now in our very state. We've got people that have been in office that haven't made the best of decisions. And we would all be like, you are so right, Brian. We needed this. Well, let me just say something right here before we go too far. You've made some really ridiculous decisions too. And who would say, thank God it's not on public television or on the radio? So before we go all judgmental, yes, but they're in office. So are you if you're a dad. But they're in office and they're a public. Well, so are you if you're a mom. An office, and I do believe that we need to have integrity, and I do believe that we need to have character. I just want to say something very quickly. Everyone in office has an issue. And one of the great patriarchs of this that we saw is a hero of the faith, that died a few months ago, Billy Graham. I loved when the camera would be on him and he said, hey, I do everything I can. And he had so many safe marks built in his life, but he said, I am an imperfect man. It is through the cross and him crucified. So as we go through this, an office, a set of rooms for work to get done, or a position of authority, trust, or service, understand that when you have an office or when you have a place in the kingdom of God or in the work of God, you're always going to be dealing with flawed people who's thankful for the cross. Amen. This morning. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4, we are reading several verses today. I'm going 7 through 16. Ephesians chapter 4, and we'll have this up on the screen for you. But to each one of us, grace has been given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Now, I want to tell you something. At salvation, we all got the same gift of grace. I didn't get a different measure than you. You didn't get a different measure than me. But when it comes to giftings, we're going to see some things shift a little bit. Yet God gives us all gifts. So look at this. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Who is thankful for the gifts today? Now this, he ascended, what does it mean but that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. Do you know when God, Jesus, was in heaven with the Father, do you know that he left earth to come hang out with mankind? Can somebody shout, that's a downgrade. Yet that downgrade was our victory. So although we look in life at ascent and descent, and we're like, God, how are you going to use that? I just descended. Folks, God will use whatever he wants to use in our life if we'll just yield to him and say, thank you, God. I descended in an area, but you're still using it to your glory. So this descent into earth is God becoming flesh. He humbled himself and he showed up on earth. And if he wouldn't have, we would be in a lot of trouble. We see that today. So he who descended is also one who ascended far above the heavens that he might fill all things or fulfill. And he himself gave some to be apostles, shout apostles, some prophets, say prophets, some evangelists, let me hear it, some pastors and teachers. Now watch this. Because he did this because he had a process built into that. Why did he give that? Well, here we go. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That's why God gave the five offices. That's why God gives gifts. And we'll get into this in a little bit more detail through the series. It says, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, who's still working on that one, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, who's still working on that one. We're working it out, God. That we should no longer be children. See, you might come to Christ and you might be new with some of the information that we're teaching and God's rocking your world with this stuff. I'm just going to say this. Don't stay young in the faith long. Grow up in him. Every week, do something with it so that there is a fullness that takes place in you. And this is why we don't need to be children too long, because this is what the Bible says. We should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine because of the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, that's why gifts are given, to speak the truth in love, that we may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. Who could preach today or who could testify today that Christ is the head of his church? And all the gifts that are associated with it. From whom the whole body is joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share. I love that. Every part does its share. Who knows, you got to do your share and I got to do my share. Your responsibility is not, you know what, I hope Pastor gets a really good message together and the band gets something together because my share is parking my tail in a seat and watching what they do. No way. I've got to do my share, but you got to do your share. If you want to be complete, you got to do your share. You're like, but I'm not a preacher. I don't want to be in the band. That's not my gift. That's okay. There's all kinds of stuff to share around here. But a growing church has to graduate out of just sitting, receiving, and hearing if we're going to be a full gospel church. And all throughout our country, we see people that kind of sit and they hear it and then have some comments. Well, if I were, I would do this. I say, do your share. Jump in, even in this series, and find out what God is saying to you. The Bible says, not Brian, the Bible says, and he gave some to be apostles, he gave some to be prophets, he gave some to be evangelists, he gave some to be pastors, and he gave some to be teachers. Understand this morning, when God gives you a gift, you have a responsibility to operate in that gift, and God has some expectations, especially for the gift that he gave you. It's not like God puts things in a hat, shakes it up, and says, pick your gift. God gives us a gift, and when he gives us a gift, Scripture outlines what's the criteria of that gift that you're carrying, that God has given you. So when God gives us gifts, he has expectations, and we must be responsible with it. I want to say this really quickly. When God gives you a gift, that is not for the building up of self. God doesn't give you a gift so you feel better in the church. God doesn't give you a gift so you have a greater platform in the church, so you feel better about yourself because finally someone will listen to you. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, you could preach a message and people not listen to you. I promise you, I've seen it. So it's not like I get to a certain gift or get to a certain office. Now everybody's going to do exactly as I say. No, they won't. And they didn't do exactly what Jesus said either. So if my gift is used inappropriately or in an unhealthy way, then I can be meistic and selfish with it, and I can hinder the thing that God wants to do in my life. To carry a gift, to be in an office, to operate under a spiritual gift in the church is an incredible act of humility. And that's what it's supposed to be. It's not about us being given a gift so that we build our own empire or we build our own deal. No, this is for the glory of God. These functions that we're going to be talking about over the next 4 weeks, these functions are for the purpose of equipping and releasing people. Now, unfortunately, we in our country measure the success by how many people are sitting in the chairs and pews. That is not the success of a church on Scripture. Now, do we like to see the church filled? Well, absolutely. Why wouldn't we? Why would we say, hey, let's just kind of settle where we're at? Well, because where we're at is the reality that all of us are going to die off. So we have to have life coming in. But when we begin to think through this, the function is that you and I would be fully equipped and fully released into the ministry. It's not about us accumulating some numbers. It's about us releasing some people to go on the streets and do this thing called Christianity. And sometimes we just sit here and we feel, well, I've done my part. I mean, I came to church. I feel better. I'm going to study and do some devotions this week. And that's awesome. But there's a lot of people broken and they don't feel good at all and they're lost and they don't know which way to turn. And I'm going to tell you right now, when we step out in the gifts that God has given us, every joint, every piece working together, who knows, we're seeing this as a church. We're starting to see God do some pretty amazing things. So these offices, and I'm not, those that are watching online, as I teach this, I understand that there's a few concepts on this. And as I teach through these few concepts, I will say this. I do not believe that man can formulate it into any perfect concept. I think we do our best to lead out what Scripture has shown us. So many of you have heard this term before. If you've heard this, just agree, amen, pastor, wave at me. Fivefold ministry. Yes. Who's heard that? Okay. So the fivefold ministry, why? Well, because we have an apostle, we have a prophet, we have an evangelist, we have a pastor, a teacher. When you get into the nuts and bolts of it, the nitty-gritty, the definition based on the some other concepts. There are some that believe that there's a fourfold ministry and that pastor and teacher is kind of a combined deal. Here's my deal. I don't want to argue. I don't want to debate from different backgrounds and denominations. I'm just thankful that there is a manifold ministry in the church. That's a good word that I found. A manifold ministry. It just means there's really parts. So why would I argue? No, it's fivefold ministry. No, it's fourfold ministry. Hey, let's just call it manifold ministry and let's see God release it and let's be who he's called us to be, right? So I'm teaching you because you might bump into some of this stuff. Well, wait, fivefold, fourfold? Well, yeah, we could manifold is God has some gifts and those gifts appear in the five that I just listed. Now, write this down. We're going to talk today about the office of an apostle. Matter of fact, it's one of the most controversial subjects, and here I am preaching on it today, in the Pentecostal and the Charismatic movement. It doesn't mean you're an apostle just because you write a book and you got your name on a flyer and you're speaking on the circuit out there. Nor does that make you a pastor. Nor does that make you an evangelist. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's not a self-imposed title. It's not I wake up and I want to be this today. And we're going to see this unfold in Scripture from the real deal, the real men that were called into apostleship with Christ and released by Christ. You'll remember this. Now, when I say the word apostle, I want to share with you two meanings to that. The first being the what I would call the magna or the larger meaning or the more general meaning is one who is sent. Let me use an example of that. A missionary going out to take the word of God into a language group. They don't even know the language yet, and they learn it, and they go into a place and they're sharing Christ. Well, I believe that is a picture of a modern-day apostle. Now, this is a general view. Understand what I'm saying? I'm going to give you a couple definitions. So the more narrow meaning is denoted or locked into the 12. You remember the 12 apostles? Now, I know some of this might be a little bit deep, but I want to give you something. This is not a trick. All of the apostles were disciples, but not all disciples are apostles. Every apostle, every one of the 12 were disciples, but not every disciple, every follower of Christ is to function in the office of apostle or apostolic ministry. Does everybody understand that? So I'm giving you a few things. So we've got this larger meaning, this more general meaning, meaning one who has been sent. And that's a very soft, easy way of understanding it. I'll shore that up in just a minute because there's some other things that go with that. And then we have a more narrow meaning of the original 12. I am going to be speaking today on a more generalized view of the apostle, apostolic ministry, releasing people because God's given you a gift to do so. I don't want that to get confused with the 12 apostles. Is everybody tracking with me? And hopefully everyone online is as well. You can write these down. Let me give you the 12 apostles. Some of you memorized it as a song as a child. First of all, we have Peter. You can put in parentheses Simon. That's why we call him Simon Peter. These aren't two different people. And that's okay because we get sometimes, wait, we had Simon over here and Peter over here. Different translations, Peter here and then Simon here. We have Peter who is Simon. So a lot of times these guys were given surnames. Not always. We don't have all the historicity on all this. But we've got Peter, then we have Andrew. You'll remember James, and he is the son of Zebedee. Why did they need that? Because there were many James that were floating around in that biblical time. So we have James, the son of Zebedee, and we have John, the son of Zebedee. Weren't they the sons of thunder? There you go. We've got James and John, these apostles. We have Philip. This is a long one, Bartholomew. We have Thomas. Anybody remember what Thomas's issue was? So we call him Doubting Thomas. I'm so thankful that we don't refer to our name as our weakness first and then say our name. There we've got Insecure Brian. You know, there we have Unforgiven Sally. Aren't you thankful? But we're real comfortable. Oh, yes, doubting Thomas. He was an apostle. Matthew. Anybody remember what Matthew was? Very tax collector, very disrespected people, person in his culture, in his time. We have James. Now, he was the son of Alphaeus, or Alphaeus. You could pronounce it a couple different ways. We have Judas. Judas Thaddeus, we could put in parentheses Jude. Okay. We have Simon. Anybody remember what Simon was? Not Simon Peter, but we have another Simon. Man, he was a zealot. So we have Simon the zealot. And then we have Judas Iscariot. And we remember Judas Iscariot betrayed Christ, 30 pieces of silver, right around the cost of a slave. He sold Christ. We have Judas Iscariot. And then we have, through a system and a biblical process, I'll even say a God process, we have Matthias who would replace Judas. Does anybody remember that story? They kind of cast lots and the Lord falls and directs and uses all that. So we're gonna stop with just the original group there for now. It's important for us to understand as we launch into this that the five offices, I want to share it again so this gets in your heart, that the five offices first and foremost should have someone who is geared towards a humble life and servanthood. Now, you've heard this before, and it's often said as a joke, but some people have said ministry would be easy if people weren't in it. Well, this is what I would say to that person. Then fivefold office for sure is not your deal. Using your gifts is going to be real hard because Jesus said, follow me. Even being a disciple is tough if you can't serve. So I want us to look at these offices through humility and servanthood and not get trapped up with some hierarchy of title, which I'm going to be honest with you as your pastor drives me nuts. Is there a place for that? Yes. And with that title comes a function. And in the church, every church function should be driven and steered with humility and servanthood. Not how high am I? Jesus said, no, how low can you go? I'm going to wash some feet. That's not head up, tassels hanging from the robe, look at my collar. Jesus bent down and took a towel and washed feet. So humility and servanthood is the character that is needed to serve in the body of Christ. Do people struggle with that? Absolutely. Again, this is not to build a personal kingdom or an empire, it's to equip and to release people into ministry. Remember, we do not believe that successful ministry is just our church growing in numbers. We believe that it has twofold. The church will grow in numbers as the people in the house are released to do the ministry. We believe both are working together perfectly to honor God and to grow people. So let me say this before I jump into the office of apostle. Let me say this. I am so thankful that you came to Merrimack Heights Church. I want you really quickly to give yourself a hand and for all those watching online today. Can you do that? Come on, get loud and proud now. You got to be loud for them to hear it through this. There you go. I'm thankful that you're here. It's awesome to see you here, but that's an imperfect metric. Hey, we had a good crowd today. When you're talking to pastors, hey, how was the crowd today? Hey, good crowd today, spirit moved. Good crowd, spirit moved. The next thing should be how many people moved and were equipped into their gifting and released to do it. And that's what we're on pilgrimage in a local church. And there's some struggle to it and it takes some time. But I think with God's help, he's given us a really great path that is working for us at this local church. I want to talk about the office of an apostle. Everybody say apostle. Anybody ever have an office and you have a name with your title on it? Anybody have one of those? My dad has one. Dad, where did that one that's carved out of wood, where'd that come from? Is he Africa? It's from the Philippines. And it's got my dad's name on it, James E. Kitchen. This thing's carved out. I've always been intrigued by it. What that is, James E. Kitchen, it doesn't say pastor on it, but it's on my... So when you walk into his office, he's seated behind a desk, And he has an office where work gets done, but he also functions in an office, right? Of responsibility, authority. Everybody understand that? So I've went ahead and just put on the desk a term that we all need to be comfortable with because it's in the Word of God, and I'm not going to dance around it. I'm not going to dance around it by, oh, hey, this might be something we use in the church, or it might not be something we use in the church. I believe this with all my heart. I believe that everything God said that should be functioning in the church should be functioning in the church. I believe we would be high to say, well, tongues didn't go away. I don't think apostolic ministry went away. Now, I'm talking to a larger general view of it. I'm not talking about the original 12. I do not believe that Jesus counts out from the original apostles and says, okay, this is apostle 999,904. We're waiting for the next one. I'm not talking about that. That's very title, very, very, hey, let me, I'm not talking about somebody who just, I've got to have the office or the title of it. I'm talking about the function that God's put something in your heart. And we call the unction, it's an old school word, of the Holy Ghost. I sat in the church this morning and I felt the unction. Well, folks, the unction better have a function. Because if your unction doesn't have a function, you're going to be full of power that you never use. Come on, Pentecostals. Let's preach it again. Let's go old school. Tent revival. I'm not concerned about the unction in the church. I'm concerned about the function. Am I functioning in the unction, the stirring of the Spirit? Because it's not, if it's not, if it's just a feeling, I felt the power. Well, I'm just going to tell you, there's going to be days you don't feel the power. I felt the healing. Sometimes you're going to have to claim the healing and walk in the healing, and your back still hurts. I felt the call of God on your life, on my life. Well, I'm just going to tell you right now, ma'am, I'm going to tell you right now, there's going to be days that you question what you felt. I've asked it many times, God, are you sure you still want me to be doing this? Well, I felt the unction, but I struggled to find my function. So you know what I'm talking about. The office of an apostle, I'm not going to dodge it today. And I will say this, we as a movement in the Assemblies of God, we do not have an office that we say apostle so-and-so, nor do we in the Assembly of God say prophet so-and-so, but we're very comfortable with pastor so-and-so, and we're very comfortable with presbyter so-and-so. I'm not downing terms, I'm just saying when it comes to the offices in the church, I believe they need to be fully functional and alive in God's church and serving in God's kingdom. And we have ways. There's different words that mean different things. But I'm not going to try to candy coat the role of an apostle because Scripture doesn't. I want to talk to the larger meaning as we begin to unpack some of this. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 9. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 9. Remember, we're not trapped in the title. We're looking at the function. It says 1 Corinthians 15, 9 and 11, for I, this is Paul. The what Paul? The apostle Paul. Okay? Look at what he says when it came to title. Check your heart. Check yourself. For I am the least of the apostles who am not worthy. So Paul's, get the title off. I'm not even worthy to be called it. I would be least if I was. I'm not worthy. Who would say that's humility? Yet Paul's very direct later to say, hey, I pretty much speak in tongues more than anybody in the room, just so you know. So there's still a directness. There's nothing wrong with that. But he says, I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. That'd be a good message, wouldn't it? I am what I am. And by his grace toward me, it was not in vain, but I labored. Here we see Paul again. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was in me. Therefore, whether it was I or they, so we preached, and so you believe. Paul was not boasting office, was not boasting title. Paul was not looking to be recognized as a certain title so he could function. I believe he had an unction on the road to Damascus, a power moment. God changed some things up, and he learned to function within the power that God filled him with. That's what we see in this character. So I want us to look at the word apostle, and I want to first start with the Greek word apostolos. Apostolos, A-P-O-S-T-O-L-O-S, A-P-O-S-T-O-L-O-S, apostolos or apostolos. I've heard it pronounced a couple different ways. This word, apostle or apostolos, may be translated out of the Greek into an English term such as this. These were words or words that you could use with apostolos. Delegate. Who's ever sent a delegate? This is going to be really important. Envoy. Isn't that a vehicle? Like a Buick Envoy? No, I thought it was. A messenger, apostle, or an agent. Now, this would be in the Greek. Now, let's look at something really quickly. We would assume and fully believe that Jesus spoke Hebrew and Aramaic. Hebrew or Aramaic. Aramaic or Hebrew. Okay, so let's look at an Aramaic word. It's called shaliach, S-H-A. I'm sorry, I don't have them on the screen. S-H-A. L-I-A-C-H, S-H-A-L-I-A-C-H, and it's very similar to the Greek word apostolos. Now, you'll know when you translate words sometimes, people that might speak in a different language, you don't always have the perfect word because you can't find one that means the same, so you find the closest meaning to that, and these words function in tandem together from the Hebrew, Aramaic, to the Greek. And shaliach means a man's agent or man's agent. So watch this. This was very cool when I began to jump in here and study this, and you'll know why I had to study this one out more than any of the other ones. I'll share that in humility today. When you sent out your shaliach, you were sending out your agent, and it was just as powerful as you being represented. So that if I sent out in Jewish culture, biblical time, my shaliach, I was sending out somebody that was in my favor, an agent representing me. It was, you know, power of attorney today? Equivalent to that. So if I send out a shaliach to a sheep sale in biblical times, and that shaliach at some sale buys 300 sheep, on my name, guess what? I'm bound to that shaliach, and that shaliach is bound to me because we both made the decision. It was a messenger. It was one who was sent in your name. Who would say then if you had a shaliach, you might want to check their character and integrity? Before they go out, you might want to just check some things on them just to make sure, hey, why? Because they're representing you. Who's thankful that Christ sent people, flawed, imperfect, to represent him, and he said, you're going to go out in my name, shaliach. You're going to go out as my representative. The same power that lives in me lives in you. Can somebody say that's powerful this morning? So God's agent, apostolos, if you sent your agent, it was as if you were going yourself. And the Gospels are clear in the four Gospels that Jesus sent these guys out. Matter of fact, that was part of being an apostle. You had to be sent by Jesus. It was part of it. It was part of the criteria. And there's some things in there that I'm not going to say they're muddy, but we're not 100% clear on, and I'm completely okay with that. I want to share something interesting with you because I will say this. I hesitated at first to use myself, but I hesitated long enough where I felt the Lord said, humble yourself. So I am going to share through a very humble lens today, and I believe it's the best model because it's using me. We have a process here at Merrimack Heights Church, And many churches have this. Many churches use some of the same thing. They just change some of the info in it. And we just simply, we call it next steps. And we were preparing for our next steps class. And if you haven't taken next steps, Jeanette, I think we have some more classes coming up. I encourage you to jump in. You'll find out about more on the history of the church, how we function as a church, how you can get plugged in, what your gifts are. But in next steps, we have four different things that we study out. We study out follow, connect, discover, and serve. And I'll be really honest with you, the following part was awesome. I went through it. There wasn't a problem with it. The connect part, I went through it. That was week two. I was going to teach it, so I needed to know it. So this is months out. We're going through the curriculum. We go into month three, and I had a problem. Some of you are like, what was the problem? Now just follow me for a minute. Number three, or module three, or we could say week three, is called discover. Who's ever discovered something and you're not so sure you like what you discovered? So you'll do everything. I mean, you'll retest. You'll be like, surely not. I wasn't comfortable with it. And my discomfort started a journey of studying an apostle. Everybody get that? I'll share in a moment. Before we rolled this out, and it was kind of a, you know, connected all the dots, we started rotating some of our leaders in to teach classes because I desired for our entire team to be doing that. And as new people came in and they knew the content and they knew people and had respect and were trustworthy in the church, that we would send out more agents to teach those classes. But I wanted to start with our team. I believe that that was very, very important. So anyway, I'm going through this thing, and there were 72 questions. And I'm Joy and I, for a while, were like, well, what do you think? Well, what do you think? But the thing isn't, what do you think? You got to lock away, and you got to do the work for yourself. No, what's just your knee jerk? What just comes to your heart when you hear this? Are you more apt to start something, serve in something? It give a list of things, and you had to pick one of those things. So I started to go through them, and I just did what I was supposed to do. I got done with my 72 questions, and in the back, there's this little log, and you begin to add across the lines. And as I begin to add across the lines, the book taught us, hey, take your top three. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to take my top three, and I do all the math. And then it has this little variable over there, and then you have to look at what that variable is or what that number is, and it gives you a heading. And I look over to my heading, and to my surprise, I tested high in the apostle role. Now, you might be like, that's cool. It wasn't cool to me. I didn't even know how you find a place for that in a church. It tweaked my brain out. I tested higher in apostle role other than pastor. Shepherd. Some of you are like, hey, let's fire this guy, find another one. But it took me back to understand the role. Nor am I saying it all, because some of you don't even call me pastor. You call me Brian, so I'm not locked into title. I'm not saying, oh, are you an apostle now? I'm not saying that. I'm saying I tested, as some of you did, in a criteria, and you're like, I'm that? So I started studying what I was shocked by, and I had no idea the larger view. And I didn't sit at this desk, but I sat by a desk that had books everywhere, different translations of the Bible, every original that I could find document. I began to read through it. I began to study it. Think about this for a minute. Back to the office. An office is a function. Why do you need a stapler? Some of us have staplers in our office. We never even use them because somebody else staples, but you got the tool in your office, right? We've got a highlighter. What does it do? We have paper clips. These are not just pens. We've got sticky notes. Thank God for 3M. I hope I could say that on Facebook Live. I mean, we've got sticky notes. We've got things. These are all functions. They all have a purpose. If I want to get a note to Joy, matter of fact, Jeanette, come grab this because I want to send this note to her. If I want to get a note to Joy, now don't read my note, then I can pass a note to her, and that has a function, right? There's a function in that note. It has a sticky note on it. She can hang it on the mirror at home. It has a function. It's a tool, right? But when I begin to look at apostle, I'm like, Lord, I would not even know how to function in that. And then I'm like, great, Joy and I have to teach it. So I knew we were going to come into this place where we're like, hey, what were your top three? And I promise you, I would have been the first one to champion that, be like, that is awesome, because God's put that in me. I love seeing people released. But here's the deal. I was looking at my own and I'm like, oh no, Lord, I don't understand it. And I felt the Lord say, wrestle with it. So I pulled our position papers on Assembly of God. I started going through it because I knew I was going to be teaching this live today. I'm saying, as I begin to study it, I begin to see something in my life that had been there for years and I didn't understand it. Joy, I begin to see, I don't know how many times a month we'll drive by a place, I'll be like, that would be a perfect church. Does that happen a lot? That would be a perfect church. That would be a perfect church. That would be a perfect church. I find the most unorthodox places for a perfect church. And I started to look at it, and I started to look at what was a book's Bible definition of this apostle thing, and it shocked me. It said this. It said, the gift of apostleship is the divine strength or ability to pioneer new churches and or ministries through planting, overseeing, and training. I'm like, God, that's right there in my lane of the things that speak to me. I came up to church. I was doing some of the study at home. I started looking at books that I've accumulated over the years. It was about releasing people, coaching them into their gift. It was about, and it's a humble road. It was about leading people and loving people, even when they don't need to be want to be led. Have you ever been there before? When they have the unction but haven't found the function? That moment, and I began to say, you know what, Lord? I could get comfortable with this if you can help me, Lord. If you've really put this in my heart, I could get comfortable with this. So I begin to see desires of my heart has always been launching people. And I don't say this in a bad way, but there are oftentimes people that couldn't function over here at all, and they get around somebody else, now they can function. You've had those people in your life. We see it in a sports world. They sat under a coach, and for whatever reason, they were locked up. Sometimes it was a coaching issue. Sometimes it was them. But all of a sudden, something clicked. They're under another coach. Now they're hitting again. Now they're stealing bases again. Same way in work. You worked at a certain place, and you did that for years, but there didn't seem to be advance. There didn't seem to be movement. And all of a sudden, God opened the door, and you changed. And all of a sudden, you changed job, and you just like sailed through titles and places. Because somebody sought the gift and saw the gift, and they begin to fan into flame that thing. It didn't mean they were better than you. It didn't mean they were a better businessman, a better pastor, a better mother, dad. They just fan into flame what they saw in you, and they say, let's help you get around the right people to launch. That's apostleship. That's the role of an apostle, coaching people through processes. And that's not it. There's a ton more to this. But as I begin to just review things, I title-wise in the church, I am the lead pastor of the church. And that just means in lead pastor, there's some flexibility that I have in choosing some staff and some people to get the job done and to get the work done. We have an official board that helps in that process. They're spiritual men of God who love God, love the local church. So we've got the right system set up in that. And I'm like still wrestling with this deal. So as I begin to look through this and I begin to start looking through the function of an apostle, and I begin to look at the things that were so much the desire of my heart, I have a ability that God has put in me, and I know it's from him. I have an ability to see the diamond in the rough. I do not want to see anyone stop short of everything that God has for them. You might be like, well, Brian, I don't sing good enough. And I'm going to say, you don't sing good enough yet. Well, Brian, I can't lead. Well, can I ask some questions? What have you ever led? I've never led anything, and I'm 38. Did you have siblings? Yes. Did your parents ever leave and you were the shallyock? And they said you had four siblings, you're in control? Well, yeah, then you've led. Was there other a thing at work and you were over getting all the food together and making sure all the containers went home with the right people? And you got out the little masking tape or the sticky notes and put, that's Kitchen's Tupperware, that's so that's Jung's Tupperware, that's Womble's Tupperware, and you then you've led. Does everybody see this? So the church is, I feel oftentimes locked up spiritually because they've been gifted by God, but they don't understand it. And I'm just saying, starting here, I had to look at my top three, and I had to say, Lord, this is what you've put in my heart. How do I properly function in that? The unction has to have a function. So, Lord, how do I do that? And the Lord's been helping me. And I'm not going to show you what all that is today. I'm just telling you my story. Ephesians 4, 11 through 13. We'll go back to this. It says he gave himself some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the works of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So for this guy, I had to wrestle with a place in Scripture that I really didn't see myself in. What the Lord took me back to is all the people in the Bible that he went to and said, you're going to do this, and they were like, no way. Starting with Moses. Moses, you're going to be my spokesperson. Problem, Lord. What's the problem? Speech impediment. Your brother Aaron will be your shaliach. Do you know when you're a called man or woman, whatever excuse you register, God's going to say, what next? Well, Lord, here's the big one. I don't have enough time. But yet we'll stand here on Sunday morning and time rests in your hands, beginning and the end. How great. God says, yes, I've written Scripture. I will redeem your time. But you're going to have to give up some things you really like. But God, I want to be doing more of this, but I will redeem the time. I've called you. God, I'm uncomfortable. I don't have enough money. As if you become a pastor and money just starts flowing in the wheelbarrow loads. Who ever had enough money? Who really had enough money to have their first child? I'll tell you what, I didn't have enough to have my fifth. Most, not everybody, and some people are more well-to-do. I get that. But a lot of young couples struggle to get enough paint to paint the nursery, get the crib they want. Mom and dad throw in a little bit. The church helps. Doesn't it look like that for most people? And if you came from another hierarchy, that's fine. Your issue is something else. But every time when God's called you, you say, God, I can't. He'll say, but you can do all things through me who gives you strength. I am not talking about you signing up your own name on something and saying, okay, well, today, God, because I saw it, I am Apostle Brian. A lot of people have self-titled themselves and your ministry has fallen flat. You don't have any proven ability to raise anybody up. And I'm not being mean. I'm just saying there's some things that have to happen. Oftentimes before God releases the call, some of you will see this, and I'm getting ready to end. Just give me three to five more minutes. Before he releases the call, he'll have some things over here that you're doing back study. When I was in junior high, I'll never forget it. When I was in junior high, my parents got me my first Bible. And I remember seeing Ryan Gallion. Dad mentioned the name Gallion. They were pastoring just down the street, good friends of ours. We went to school together. He got this Bible, and I saw it, and I was looking through all the study content. And I'm like, I want a Dake Bible. And I mentioned it to my parents. I think it was for my birthday. They got me a Dake Bible. On that front row, there were moments. I was up here cleaning the church, doing this, doing that. On that front row, I would flip through that Dake Bible for hours, highlighting stuff, referencing Scripture, writing it in the back of that Bible on that Dake Bible because God was preparing me because he had put a teaching gift in my future. Some of us think, I'm gonna change a paradigm. Some of us think we become good enough and then God releases us to do it. That is not scriptural. Because anything good in your life comes from him, and oftentimes there will be a stirring when you get around another apostle, around another prophet, around another evangelist, around another preacher, around another teacher, and you're like, I could do that. And it's humble. You're not lording it. You're not trying to get your way in. You'll tuck yourself back in a closet and you'll study this stuff for hours. Then all of a sudden, God releases it. And watch this, church. You have something to say. And there will be people that will kind of start getting on board, and they have administrative gifts and they begin to function in that. So I want to say this today. The gift of apostle is the gift of an overseer. The gift of apostle is about starting works and being over works in the overseeing realm. The gift of an apostle is also, if they see a church that is falling apart, they would like to do everything that they had to get the right person in there so that it doesn't shut down. Amen? I'm just going to say this. I don't believe that the goal of the kingdom of God is for us to close more churches. I believe that the goal of the kingdom of God is for us to advance more churches. Amen. But we've got to have the right people. We've got to have the right heart. We've got to have the right leader. And as I begin to look at my own life and this heavy desire to release people, mostly for me, into just their ministry function, I begin to say, and I'm just going to give some, I'm just going to throw this out. I begin to look, Mom, at our next set of life groups. And I'm going to end with this today because I believe that it's operating in an apostolic mantle is what I'll call it, in an apostolic call. It is not my heart for me to be the only teaching guy up here. And I think most of the church could shout amen. I think I do my part, nor am I saying that we're going to rotate 50 people through here a week and I'm not going to be up here. But we have some great people in this church that can teach. And the church would reply this morning, what? Amen. Great people. They're humble. They have gifts. They don't stand up here feeling qualified all the time. They're not showing up saying, hey, Brian, can I teach and preach more? I was thinking you could work something out. Maybe get half the time. You do 25, I do 25. Kevin can do a couple, that's 52. You know, we're not weaseling our way in. Like, man, we've been gifted to do something. God's put. So we have a life group coming up. And I'm not asking you to come to me to get your name on a list either. But we have a life group coming up. And I believe, Mom, we have about 5 people signed up. We have a life group coming up. Our summer adult life group. Again, I believe it's apostolic ministry. Is going to be people showing up on Wednesday nights at the adult group format. And we're going to be sitting out where you're sitting, and there's going to be 10 different teacher people. We're still working on that title. There's going to be 10 different teacher people. That happens before you can be in the fivefold ministry. You've got to be a teacher people first. I'm kidding. And they, under the unction of the Holy Spirit, are going to get in prayer closets and offices, wherever they can set it up for somebody. It might be a car, because that's the only space they have on lunch break. And they're going to begin to craft the message that God's put in their heart. And for 10 weeks, we're going to show up, and we're going to hear from them on a Wednesday night. I am fired up about it. I can't wait. Is that not going to be awesome? Now listen, we've got all kinds of different people that have expressed, as I've talked to some people, yes, I would do that. And that started with me seeing a level of gifting, a level of communication gift. So that being said, I'm not saying we're going to take that group and we're going to cycle them all up here, but I am going to say this. As you begin to see people with powerful preaching, teaching gifts, we might want to start looking at, hey, what's God called you to do? Does anybody see where I'm getting at? This is what the Bible says to do. Because I'm not trying to build an empire here. I think it would be incredible, and I'll state this as a visionary mode only. We've not had big talks about this. I think it'd be awesome if one day in the future, Merrimack Heights Church would plant another church. Amen. I think it would be awesome if we would raise up an in-house pastor and be able to send them off as a shaliach under our denomination, under the way that we're set up, and say, hey, let's find another place of the world. Maybe they're a missionary. I don't know. But let's see what the Lord wants to do that. I got comfortable with this because I understood it was the desire of my heart. The pastor shepherd is much about building the work of Christ in the local assembly and reaching the people of God and releasing them within the local assembly and then some. But I find in my heart there is a stirring in me as I see places in the country that people are hurting and lost, and places throughout the world where people are broken. And I don't think being sent means always, hey, go for the rest of your life. Sometimes it's for 2 weeks to go help in a village that is hurting and broken down. We're working right now, Freddie. Is Freddie in here? Freddie, we're working right now with Assembly of God. I just about ate it on stage. Assembly of God Church in Kenya. And we're formulating some things on how we can help them. Folks, when I throw a dollar figure in you of what will completely revamp their makeshift church, you're going to be like, we just have to do it. We've started working. We've had dialogues. We've had talks on that. And we're going to be able to get in front of you, and you are going to put walls on a church in Kenya. You're going to do it through the power of the Lord. The Lord began to show me that's what apostolic ministry is. It's thinking beyond you. It's thinking beyond what do we need. Look at all the things we need and saying, you know what? Somebody might need it a little bit before we need it to help them function and reach more people for Christ. We've talked today about the office of an apostle. I am not saying that I'm stepping into that office. I'm saying that through study, I saw some giftings in my heart through our Next Steps class. I encourage you to get on point on our Next Steps class, and you're going to hear some different people than me. You might be in one of my classes, depending on how it's set up, but I'm so thankful for what God's doing in this church, and I'm so thankful what he's going to do over the next 3 weeks as we can continue to unpack this series. Amen.